This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol. Well, today we have a special guest for this week's commentary, and he happens to be a dear, dear friend of mine from Alabama, and he chairs the Armed Services Committee in the House of Representatives, Mike Rogers. And Mike, first of all, congratulations. We got the National Defense Authorization Act passed by the House this week. And, I mean, that's always the goal.
Yeah.
But once again, you've met the obligation there, and I know you've got to feel good about it.
Yeah, it's like birthing a new baby every year. It's a difficult process, but it sure is rewarding.
Take me back in time, because it is a difficult process, and there's a lot of people that have input into it. And then, of course, you got to get buy-in from the Senate and get a conference report and all that. But it's such a key and very important piece of legislation that basically establishes the policies and all of the authorizations for our men and women in uniform. But it takes you a while.
Yeah. And typically, the bill is a two-year product. We will spend 1 year focused on, ahead of the year we're going to pass it, focused on what are we going to try to accomplish next year in the bill, doing a lot of research, hearings, field hearings, conferences, meetings, et cetera. And then we'll start in the year of the bill holding the actual hearings in committee with the various services coming in, experts, and we'll start to build the bill together in concert with the Senate. We're very bicameral as well as bipartisan. And then through the year, it matures and develops, and at the end of the year, we pass it. But it's typically two-year product. And for those people who are listening that don't understand this place, to do anything in this place, as you know, it takes authority and money. And that's the authorization bill and the appropriations bill. What we have done is we've now given the authority to the Pentagon, which is the largest organization on the planet. That's another thing people don't know. And the authorization bill that we pass authorizes over half of all discretionary spending for the federal government each year. But we have now given the authority to the department and direction about what we would like to see them do. Now it's up to the appropriators to look at that authorization and say, of that, what can we afford? So, welcome to your job.
Yeah. Well, and I totally understand that. And there's an old saying around Washington that says an authorization without an appropriation is an hallucination. And so now you need the Defense Subcommittee of Appropriations to finish its work and to be able to match what you've authorized over at the Pentagon, which is not cheap. It's over $900 billion.
Well, in fact, when you put together the reconciliation bill from this year, it's over $1 trillion. This is the first year our country has gone over $1 trillion in defense spending. However, I want to help frame that for people. While that is a large number in itself, as a percentage of GDP, this is the lowest level of defense spending since the year before World War II in 80 years. Our country has really fallen behind. Other than when Reagan was president, when he decided to rebuild the military, which, by the way, broke the back of the Soviet Union, and then when Bush was president and we had the surge to win and get out of Iraq. So we've been meeting with the president. He's really going to lean in next year on trying to get defense spending at a much higher clip. But I also want people to understand that what we're doing, the reason why we have put great emphasis in Congress on passing the Defense Authorization Bill each year, and we've done it for 64 years before this year, consecutive. No other committee comes close to that, no matter whether the Democrats are in charge or the Republicans. But we do have to set policy and guidance to make sure we remain free and safe. And things are always changing. You see it around the world. But for example, right now, the big challenge is unmanned platforms. You know, we see drones in Ukraine, artificial intelligence, all these new technologies. The focus of this year's bill was acquisition reform to go faster so we can bring in these new technologies as a part of our warfighting enterprise. And the goal is to stay out of a war, to get so far ahead of our adversaries that nobody wants to test us.
Yeah. It's deterrence is a fundamental part of what keeps America safe. I want to ask you, you mentioned the acquisition platforms. It has become apparent over the last while, 15, 20 years, that it's no longer a subject left to the big primes.
Correct.
We've got a lot of small entrepreneurial startups with great ideas and smart people at work on these projects.
And that's exactly what we focused on this year. You know, I've been on this committee, I'm just finishing my 23rd year, and up until about 10 or 12 years ago, Silicon Valley and the tech world wanted nothing to do with the Defense Department. All that's changed in recent years. Part of it is we've seen some companies like Anduril and Palantir find success. But also, I think there's some patriotism stirring with what's been happening around the world and the volatility. But for whatever reason, they're interested in working with us, but they're really frustrated, and I don't want to lose them. So we're trying to find a way to make sure this department becomes more commercial in the way it functions so we can bring those people on board and make them a part of our endeavor.
Mike, one of our challenges, your challenge, my challenge, is that these tech companies are operating at a much different speed than Congress is operating.
Well, then in the Defense Department. Again, the Defense Department is the largest organization on the planet, and it buys things at a glacial pace. I mean, I'm talking 8 to 10 years sometimes from the time there are requirements, they begin talking about requirements, till we get a platform. That is not acceptable, not just from a business standpoint. These tech companies will never deal with that. But just as taxpayers, we can't afford to finally get a platform in place that's antiquated by the time we get it in place. So we've got to move at the speed of relevance, and we are focused. This bill that we're passing this year is going to dramatically change the pace of purchasing in the Department of Defense.
Mike, providing for the common defense is written in our Constitution. I've got to ask you, how do you feel when you know that you're chairing the committee that is responsible for authorizing the greatest military the humankind has ever seen?
It's very rewarding and humbling. Also, I spend a lot of time traveling around the world, you know, visiting with our troops and seeing what we have. You know, we have bases and forward operating installations all around the world. See the incredible service members that are sacrificing. And these are not in sexy places. I mean, there's some pretty incredible places that they're staying and serving us. And I not only think about what they're sacrificing, but what their families are sacrificing by them being away. It is one of the most rewarding responsibilities that you can have to be chair of the Armed Services Committee. And also to know that if we do our job right, nobody will mess with us and we'll stay free and safe.
And we'll never play a home game, will we?
That's right. You know, I tell people all the time that the two overriding goals on my committee is to make sure that if we ever get in a fight, it's not a fair fight, and we fight it on their homeland, not ours.
Speaking of the military, this is going to be Army-Navy weekend.
That's right.
Army and Navy will play their annual grudge match. It's one of the great rivalries in all of amateur sports. And, of course, I'm going to pick a side. I'm not going to ask you to pick a side since I chair the board at the U.S. Military Academy. But there is, I'd be remiss in this interview with Mike, that there is another football game going on this Saturday that involves a team called the Harding University Bisons. Now, if you were to poll all of my colleagues, very few of them. Now, French Hill would, Rick Crawford would, and Bruce Westerman would be able to pinpoint where Harding is on the map, but there's probably no other member of Congress that could except Mike Rogers. You could.
That's right. Harding has a special place in my heart. They accepted my daughter into their Doctor of Physical Therapy program several years ago, and I took her out there and put her in great hands. Those people are just so awesome. They took good care of her, and the best part is now she's gainfully employed.
And off the payroll.
Off the payroll, and just gave me my first granddaughter.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations to that. Mike, you got 312 votes, bipartisan vote on that National Defense Authorization Act. I want to congratulate you once again and wish you the very best, and just really honored that you joined us here today.
Thanks. I'm honored to be with you, buddy.
Mike Rogers, Chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. As always, I invite your views. This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol.